hope left for this season?
Come on, Rob. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I mean,
come on, man.
Can't win on the road. What are you going to be able to do?
I don't even know how to answer that, Rob. I mean, come on. What am I supposed to say? Of course there's hope.
And now, winner of 3 Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
9 o'clock hour, good morning, Chuck and Winkler. He's Chuck Freeman, I'm Radio Joe Zenzola from the Bill Michaels Show. I'm in for Bart, who will be back on Monday. No, he did not get suspended. He was actually at the game last night in Seattle. Did have some tweets about it. You can follow him at Winks Thinks. You can follow Chuck at Chuck Freeman. I'm at Radio Joe Sports. Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold Insider, will join us coming up at 9:35 from Seattle. We'll get his thoughts on this game. This barn burner of a game, 27-24, the Packers fall.
Well, there's two ways to look at that little exchange there between Rob Demosky on ESPN and Aaron Rodgers. What he says, hope. I mean, yes, mathematically, there is hope that they can make the playoffs. But realistically, if you can't win on the road, like Rob said, you can't win on the road, man. You've had some big tests here, okay? You've proven in the, over the years you can't win on the road in a playoff game anyway. You know, you go on the road and, you know, the classic Mike McCarthy, you have one bumbling bad thing happen to you after another. And yeah, I mean, Rob is going to ask that question, and Rodgers is not going to come out there, though, in his defense. Rodgers is not going to come out and say, yeah, we have no shot at going to the postseason.
Yeah, season's over.
He's not going to say that.
We're done.
Yeah, he's not going to say that. But
no,
I mean,
he's not going to say
mean,
that.
I get it where Rob is asking the question, and I don't blame him. It's a gutsy question to ask. It's an important question to ask, okay, about hope. You know, you let Aaron answer. That's the way he's going to answer it. That's fine. If you're in the media, Rob asked the right question there and a good comeback. But you got to ask that question. And if Rodgers is going to answer it that way, that's fine. And no, and Aaron's not being a jerk by answering it that way. And Rob Demosky's not being a jerk by asking that question. I see from both sides their responses and their questions. But Rodgers is not going to say, hey, like you said, up. No, we're not. The season's up. Because if that's the case, we might as well just start talking about the Bucks 24/7 on the radio right now, or talk about the NFL draft. Because, yeah, then it's just mail it in for the final 7 games. They got 7 games to play. You can't say that.
There's always another classic line that I like to play when it comes to hope.
Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies.
As much as I want to have hope,
I have no idea what that's from.
That is from The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
Andy Dufresne.
Okay, never saw the movie.
That's okay. Some have.
Never have.
But there's nothing to be hopeful about. There's not. If you watched that game last night, how can you sit here today, even after sleeping on it, how can you sit here today and say, man, they can still get this done. They can still go to the playoffs.
I don't.
This idea of running the table and looking ahead to a very easy schedule in December before the Minnesota game, all that is fine and dandy, but this is a team that's proven they can't even beat lesser teams.
Yeah, and somebody asked him about Rodgers at the press conference last night. Do you have another? I mean, again, somebody. I'm surprised Rodgers didn't blow up when somebody asked him that. He's got to be tired of hearing it. You know, do you have something to say other than relax? I mean, come on. Shut up. Who asked that question?
Yeah, here was Rodgers' response.
Who asked the question? Do you remember?
I don't know.
God.
I just have the answer to...
It couldn't have been anybody from the Packer media mafia.
Well, he was asked about the relax moment. Will there be an authentic one? This is what Rodgers said.
The moment will be right at one point for us to have a moment that gets us going in the right direction. And hopefully it starts with a nice... couple days off here, guys getting healthy mentally, and then come back and get ready to finish out these last 6 games the right way.
Okay, here's what I'll say. For people who are in the Dunn, and I hate the Dunn Club, I really do, and all these people who are in the Dunn Club with the Brewers back in September and in August and in July, you know, look where that got you. Anything's possible. it's not like they're 15 games behind the Chicago Bears, okay? The Bears still got to finish this off. Minnesota's got to finish this off.
Sure.
Yeah, the Packers aren't showing any signs right now of being a playoff team, okay? Going on the road and playing close games against New England and Los Angeles and Seattle, okay? You didn't win any of those games. So, yeah, you could say, well, how am I going to win a playoff game otherwise? But still, don't count out the season just yet. Yeah, I can see where people are disappointed. We all are. And frustrated. But don't throw in the season just yet. Again.
I'm close, man.
As
I'm
we
close.
Saw, hey, no, again.
I'm close.
As
You're
we saw
have
with
to
the Cubs.
Me, Chuck.
As,
help
we,
me.
As we saw with the Cubs in September, the Cubs still had to close that thing out. They couldn't do it against the Brewers. Many times people were like, oh, this is the one that's going to break the team right here, the Brewers, and the Brewers ended up winning the division. Okay. I'm just saying, I've seen too many crazy things happen in sports over the years. And it wouldn't be crazy for the Packers to still win the division. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be at all crazy. Now, and of course, games like last night don't do anything to justify my reasoning here. But there's teams ahead of them that still got to finish off the season. Yeah. Packers lose to Minnesota next week. Yeah, you can just stick another fork in them. But, last night didn't help. Last night would have went a long way to help their playoff spots. Projection, but they didn't win. But I would say at this point, season's still not over.
Packers blow another one though, another road loss.
Oh, absolutely.
414-799-1250. Let's go back out to the calls for those of you that have been waiting a long time. We greatly appreciate it. Roger and Cudahy, you're next up on the Fan. Good morning.
Hey, Raj.
Hey, good morning, fellas. A couple things. There's so much to comment on, and by not commenting on the coach, I'm not suggesting. He's not culpable here, but this idea that the problem is that Aaron's trying to win the game too much. If you're trying to win the game, you don't overlook a check down for a first down. That's the first thing. I mean, if you're trying to win the game, you don't do that. The other thing is you don't miss the check down because of injury either. So those are two things that have been brought up that I don't think are relative. There could have been two passes completed with wide open receivers, and we're having an entirely different discussion with regards to Aaron Rodgers' performance. The last thing, and I got to get this in, and I think you guys understand this. I look more to Vegas in terms of the Packers' chances than in terms of the math. And I just don't want to see this loss wasted. And what I mean by that is I don't want to see them pick up a couple meaningless wins along the way only to be driven down in the draft. I just don't want to waste this loss. I'm hoping no better than 6-9-1 get a decent draft choice. I think that's a realistic and fair hope for a fan.
All right, speaking of Vegas, that last night, that line was at 3, Seattle. And people looked at it and said, man, Seattle, I got to jump all over the Seahawks there. They're a 3-point favorite. And I said, well, that just tells me Vegas is begging you to take Seattle. Now, it was a push.
Mm-hmm.
But the line looked too good to be true to take Seattle minus the 3. They really thought Green Bay was going to win that game last night. They were begging you to take Seattle, and the Packers should have won that game. They almost did, but... Yeah, the minus 3, how about Vegas being right on the number last night?
414-799-1250, back out to the phones, Alex in Glendale. You're next up. Good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, Al.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, so I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I feel like when we're all, in the position to call him the greatest of all time and compare him to Tom Brady as being the greatest minus the rings, we also got to hold him accountable for just these mistakes he's making, and I'm sick of it. And you can see it on his face. He gets up and he's cursing, and I'm getting mad at the guy because I'm like, you know what, dude? You can't miss wide open receivers. You can't try to step up in the pocket when Aaron Jones is so wide open you can't even see a Seahawk defender on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
and mess it up like that. And I feel like, a lot of us out here in Packer Nation, I caught myself doing it last night. He makes a 50-yard, pass to someone in full stride in the end zone, and we're all sitting there, oh, my God, this guy's great. He's, he can walk on water. He's fantastic. But, I think those great plays that he makes every game, it kind of makes us forget about all these little mistakes he's making that we just, you're never going to win like that. And Tom Brady is, I think, unfortunately the greatest, because he will always take what the defense gives him, no matter what. If someone's open for 6 yards, he'll take the 6 yards. He's not going to risk, you know, blowing a play, trying to force it down the field for 30 yards when he'll take six. And he will nickel and dime you all day long, and he's been doing it for, I don't know, 15 years now. And I just don't understand, when you're Aaron Rodgers and you're supposedly one of the smartest NFL players in the world, I don't understand how you can't recognize the situation. Just take what they give you. Keep the ball. Keep the drive going.
I'll say this, Andre, too. Better scheme in New England than in Green Bay.
Well, right.
And yeah, that's where it starts, you know, with, doesn't it?
I think we all know that Mike's got to go, and even if we do somehow manage to make the playoffs as a wild card or something, I still think he's going to go, and we all know. But still, I mean, no matter what the play is called, I was trying to last night, you know, not so much focus on what Mike McCarthy was doing, because I think we already have it made up in our mind that he's got to go, mm-hmm. and really focus on the play of Aaron Rodgers. And I just kept noticing this little mistakes, and then he gets on his wide receivers for not being able to run the routes. It's like, man, you know, Exxon Valdez, which is what I like to call him, is running a route up the sidelines, wide open. You throw it to someone else in coverage. I don't understand how that guy's such a weapon, and then he gets three targets after having a great game.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre.
I don't get it, and I'm starting to get really frustrated with him. And he, you know, they zoom in on his face every time he comes up off the field when he gets sacked, and it looks like he's just blaming everyone else in his mind but himself. And I think eventually he's got to put it on himself when he makes the mistakes. He can't call out his wide receivers. He's got to play up, you know. And I'm not trying to bring his contract into it, but the highest paid player in NFL history, he's got to play as if he's the highest paid player.
Well, it's unfortunate that he's got to play at such a high level for the Packers to win a game. I mean, but he has paid a lot of money. Well, on that right there, give him the ball at 4th-and-2 with a chance to win the game. I'll say this, okay? On the comparison between Rodgers and Favre, Rodgers, okay, I feel like he, ever since he's been a quarterback of the Packers, okay, from day one, he's always had to fight some sort of criticism from fans. Brett Favre would continually go on out there and throw passes, throw interceptions, make bad plays, and do this and do that, okay? Do things that where you just want to break things, okay? Yet, man, he got a pass so many times. Rodgers, man, that guy never gets a pass on anything. I just feel like with fans, Rodgers never gets a pass. Favre, man, made gross amount of mistakes on the field and bad decisions, yet nobody really caught on and said anything until like the last couple of years, or like 2005. Like, they realized, oh geez, you know, this guy making mistakes at key times, been doing it for years, and nobody took him to task. But Rodgers, man, people just jump all over Aaron for whatever reason.
The biggest difference between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, Rodgers is just more calculated when he's making throws. He's not, if he's going to make a throw, he wants to make sure it's a window that's going to make sense, mm-hmm. and it's going to work for the receiver.
And look at his interceptions.
Exactly.
One since September. That's
right.
Phenomenal, man.
Right. And you've seen how many footballs he's had to throw away when he has to scramble out of pockets because receivers aren't getting open. He doesn't want to fit it in a window that he thinks is not going to be able to get mm-hmm. there, especially to a rookie receiver.
Sure.
So in one regard, you definitely have to respect that out of Aaron Rodgers. You don't need turnovers right now.
But on the other hand, Joe, why aren't these guys getting open? Well, how come Seattle receivers are running free, wide open downfield?
Well, again, you have a depleted secondary for the Packers. Now, on the flip side of things, receivers are getting open at times. Aaron Jones is getting open underneath coverage. Go through your checkdowns and get the ball to Aaron Jones. Again, there's no excuse why Aaron Jones touches that ball 6 times in the second half, and he was open. The pocket is collapsing. Rodgers, you've got Aaron Jones right there. That's your bailout. There he is.
I think with Jones, we saw again last night, if there's any positive to take from this game other than a fact roll, that Jones, again, can be a dual threat. Yeah, but running the football. It was a great run of the football last night.
More so catching passes in the screen game.
Yes, in the screen game. I mean, that's very effective, man. And you got a weapon like that, that, I mean, him and Jones could be very, very good going forward in this window. Of Rodgers has got the, you know, we think that he's got a certain window here. Well, he's got a really good running back right now. Okay, so hopefully they could put the pieces around those two, like they have the wide receiver with Devontae, and they think they have EQ, and they feel Valdez Scantling is going to be the fast man, the sprinter out there, the guy who's going to go deep. Well, continue to build, and let's make another push, because, man, there's still that window in the next several years here to win that Super Bowl. May not happen this year, may not make the playoffs this year, but, man, there's you got to still have some talent on this team.
414-799-1250. We'll continue to take more of your calls. Coming up on the other side, don't forget, our Green and Gold insider Michael Cohen will join us at 9:35 from Seattle. We'll get his thoughts on this Packer loss, 27-24. Green Bay falls yet again on the road. It is a Green and Gold Friday here on The Fan, and more like Green and Gold therapy. We're here from you, and we want to hear from you. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola in for Bart. He's Chuck Freeman. We'll have more right after this on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins in the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe. Anthony Mandela producing today. He's in for Cody. 414-799-1250. Breaking down Packers, Seahawks. Your Green and Gold fall 27-24. Go back out to the phones here. Matt on the west side, you're next up here at Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning, Matt. What's up?
Hi, Matt.
Long time, first time. Just giving you a call here.
Oh, that's great.
Wait a minute. Did you just say you were a first-time caller? It feels like the
first time. There you go, Matt calling from the west side. Like, don't be a foreigner to the show.
That's right.
I try not to. I always tune into you guys.
That's great. So what do you got, Matt?
What's up?
I got to ask, why does McCarthy not go for it there on 4th and 1? 4:20, one timeout. The defense, you know, is playing well, but you can't bank on getting 3 stops with only one timeout. I think you got to go there, right?
Yeah, stupidity. I don't know. Conservative Mike, I'm going to call him.
What about that screen call on 3rd and 1 with, one of the better quarterbacks in the league here, Aaron Rodgers? I got to ask you that, too. What's up with that?
Well, I have more of a problem with the downfield passes on 3rd down. I mean, the 30-yard passes downfield. What's he looking? I mean, he hit a 1 with Devontae, but I have a more problem with the downfield stuff. I don't have any problem with the screen play, a screen pass. But, man, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 5, why should, you know, old school quarterback in me tells me, hey, I need to get a first down here, keep the chains moving. I don't need to get 45 yards at this crack. I need to get the chain, keep the chains moving. What's with this quick strike offense that Rodgers thinks he's trying to run? Or McCarthy, for that matter, I guess.
Either one of them. Thanks for the call, Matt. Either one of them. Again, equal blame here. The play calling, the decision making, the checkdowns, all of it. You had so many opportunities in this game to seize the moment, especially when Seattle wasn't producing on the offensive side of the football. You couldn't do it. And Rodgers, again, big play after big play. He's trying to make something where he really can't. Just control the football. Control the clock.
Yeah.
Time of possession. Yeah. Again, for like the 50th time on this show this morning, how does Aaron Jones only touch the football 6 times?
Yeah.
How?
Second half.
In the second half. How?
Yeah. No, I know. I get it. I don't get that. I don't the decision making as far as not going for it on fourth and 2, passing, throwing bombs 40 yards downfield on 3rd and short. The bobble play went against them. We all knew that was, you know, hey, was there any doubt in your mind that when Pete Carroll asked for a review there, that he was going to get the review, but he was going to win the review? Oh, God. I knew they weren't going to get it. They're not going to get a call at that place. Uh-uh. No, not against Seattle. I feel like Seattle draws the most emotion out of us, out of any opponent ever. It reminds me of the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. The Cowboys always, not in our division, but always drew the most emotion because it would always be the toughest losses. Seattle is the 2000s Dallas Cowboys, that's for sure.
They really are a nemesis to the Packers.
Yeah, I mean,
still, you can't win there.
You can't win there. You win here.
Right.
Well, you beat anybody at home, but God, go on the road and, you know, it's the Keystone Cops in the 4th quarter.
You know, it's funny. depending on where the Packers finish at the end of the season and depending where the Seahawks finish, if both of those teams finish in the same spot, like let's say both teams finish in third place or both teams finish in second place, the Packers are going to have to go right back on the road next season and play the Seahawks again there. Based on the way the schedule is set up for next year, they have an NFC West opponent that they have to go on the road to. If Seattle and Green Bay finish in the same spot, Packers are going right back there next year.
See, I think going on the road builds mental toughness. I don't want to hear any, you know, the schedule here sucks. And I've talked ad nauseum about that. Going on the road once, playing one home game in 7 weeks, that's not good. And the NFL, I don't care if a computer's spitting out the schedule, make some adjustments to that schedule. But going on the road, that said, going on the road builds toughness in a team. It always does in any sport. And the Packers don't have that right now. They don't have the toughness to win on the road. Bottom line, they don't have the toughness to win on the road. And that starts at the top and works its way down.
If you missed this from last night, Aaron Rodgers had an explanation about all the three and outs. And again, he's kind of pointing the finger at the younger wide receivers. Take a listen.
Yeah, we got to get back to getting open on our routes and being in the right space at the right time and figuring out what those best concepts are for our guys. You know, without Randall, without Geronimo, we're still learning these young receivers. Devontae's incredible. I mean, he really is. But teams are going to continue to shade to his side, I would think. There wasn't a ton tonight. I mean, he had a lot of one-on-one matchups, and that's what's going to happen when you leave that guy open, one-on-one in space.
But my question is, off the field, is Aaron Rodgers working really hard with these young guys to get this stuff right? How much work is Aaron Rodgers putting in with these younger wide receivers? I'd like to have someone ask him that question the next time they have an open media session.
Are you talking on the field? Are you talking in a film room?
I'm talking about all of it.
I think he does. I don't think Aaron has ever got to be questioned for his work ethic because he's working with these guys trying to get better. Now, Aaron, his deal is it's my way and this is the way it's going to be done, which is I'm fine with that. Aaron wants things done a certain way. He wants guys done to be in certain spots. And I don't have any problem with that, Joe. He does. I think he does work with him, and it's just not that he's going out there and, you know, he's reintroducing himself every Sunday to St. Brown and Valdez Scantling. He's worked with these guys during the week. Aaron puts his time in. Favre in his early days never did, but Roger, and he did later on, but Favre, he realized he had to, but Rogers, he does. He works his tail off, and he's a student of the game. And he's working with these guys. He's trying to develop a chemistry with these guys. He's teaching on the field. He's teaching at practice, too.
414-799-1250. Green and Gold Insider Michael Cohen coming up here in just a few minutes. Take one more call before the break. Let's go to Dan in Racine. Dan, you're next up on The Fan. Good morning.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, Dan.
You know, it's the same MO every day. I don't know why this guy ain't taking a direct flight to Cleveland. We don't need him as a coach anymore. This guy can't assess talent correctly. You guys pretty much hit it all on the head. 42 yards rushing the football, 10 yards or 10 minutes longer having the ball in their hands. It's lopsided. I mean, we should have went in there with a balanced play. I mean, I get it with Graham not being there, but nobody really said why he ran into the – I mean, he ran into the locker room. Okay. Did this guy get emotional? I don't know what happened there. You got Cobb that's not there. You got Wilkerson out. You got so many starters that they put a lot of money in these guys that just you can't blame it on the defense at all, really. I mean, you got dumb players like Green right now that did that pass interference. But you're throwing a rookie that, yeah, he probably plays with them during the week, but this is what preseason was supposed to be all about. Mm-hmm. He should have been there more playing preseason. He never took enough games doing that. This is just my opinion. And quite frankly, it's showing up right now. But clearly we didn't need Graham, $13 million, $9 million next year. That's a complete waste. Cobb should be on this team. And they should have brought in guys off the wire, man. They should have had Dez in there long ago. They should have took a shot on Marshall. Now New Orleans is doing that. These are guys that, you know, have proven, yeah, they might be slower, but you know what? They're going to catch the ball. They're probably going to be right where they're supposed to be. And that's what we're showing up right now in this game. And, you know, when you got Aaron Jones on this team, this guy is a dynamic player, man. He really is. And you're not rushing. all I got. It's frustrating, and man, it's going to be one of those seasons, fellas. And they got to get. Yeah, he's
got
to go.
Yeah, got seven weeks left. Dez on this team. He got, if he gets one catch in 8 yards like Valdez Scantling got last night, Dez is complaining and bitching up a storm last night. And I think that's what people are trying to avoid. Well, I mean, he signed with the Saints, and then he got hurt in practice.
Right.
But, I mean, that's, I think that's what, when no one is signing Dez, they don't want to bring that drama in. If Dez had no drama, Dez would have been signed a long time ago. Dez would have been in somebody's camp a long time ago. And the Saints didn't do it until they absolutely needed it. Mid-season, they realized and said, all right, maybe now's the time, because they could have had Dez a long time ago. Maybe the time is now to get Dez. Dez and this team, but, again, I think they have the receivers. They've had Cobb. They've had Geronimo Allison. Now I know those guys aren't Dez, but still I think they have their receiving core is a strength of this team. And they've drafted receivers. So I think the receiving core is fine. Yeah, I think Dez, you know, Dez might have ended up in Green Bay had he, you know, kept his mouth shut down to Dallas.
Yeah.
And he continued to keep his open his mouth after he left Dallas.
Well, remember, too, Aaron Rodgers had been asked about Dez Bryant back in training camp, and he said, well, why would we want to do that? I mean, otherwise, what was the point of cutting Jordy?
Yeah. They clearly went with younger receivers.
Yeah. That's what they want.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some growing pains, but I question how much is Aaron Rodgers really working with these guys off the practice field, behind the scenes. That's what I'm very curious about. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. It's Chuck and Winkler. I'm in for Bart today. Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider from The Athletic, will join us coming up on the other side. And we'll try to squeeze in a couple more calls before we get to the Bill Michaels Show at 10 o'clock today. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, this weekend looks like a great weekend to stay inside or get out and watch some sports. And if you're going to go out and maybe have a good lunch or dinner somewhere, I got the place to go to watch some games, the Q Club of Wisconsin. Man, they got the football games going on there. They have the college football going on, the basketball, everything. They'll put the local games on TV for you, and they got the volume on as well. The Q Club of Wisconsin, north side of Waukesha. My favorite place to watch all the sports action. Also, get your friends there, get together, have a few beers, maybe have a nice meal, watch the game, and go to their indoor sports room, their huge entertainment room, a pool tables, tornado foosball, shuffleboard, electronic darts, ping pong, and more. And, of course, they got the indoor bocce ball leagues that are ready to go, up and running. And if you want to play some indoor bocce ball league, check them out. Go to their website. Give them a call. They will put you in the right direction to play some indoor bocce ball league. Man, they put some money in those courts there, and they are looking delicious. As far as the food, man, when you talk about a sports bar, you want to know, hey, do they got sports on TV? Yes, check the box. Do they have the volume on? Yes, check the box. How good is the food? Well, check the box on that one as well. Whether your food preference is burgers, they got awesome tasting burgers. The wings, the appetizers, the chicken sandwiches, everything on their menu, good to go. The happy hours are Monday through Friday from 3 until 7, the late night happy hours at 10. And did I mention the fish fry on Fridays? Yeah, today is a Friday. Get out there this afternoon for the fish fry. Man, people start going there at 4 o'clock, and they have a good run of fish fry. They'll seat you. You'll get a big pile of food on that fish fry. Yeah, four different styles of fish piled high with all the extras. Check out their happy hours. The late night happy hour tonight starts at 10 o'clock, as it does every Friday. And if you're into live entertainment, go to their Facebook page. The Q Club of Wisconsin has got live entertainment on weekends. Their Facebook page will tell you all about that. If you got a holiday party coming up, the Q Club can set you up with that, with a private room available for your VIP suite. Nothing better than having a holiday party and you got your own suite with a pool table sitting around there. How good is that? Get out to the Q Club of Wisconsin. Where is it? North side of Waukesha. Easy to get to. Take 94 West, if you don't already live in Waukesha, but take 94 West, get off on Highway T. You take T, which turns into Grandview, half mile in, and it's right there. You'll see the sign, Q Club of Wisconsin, right with all the other businesses. You'll see Q Club of Wisconsin. Go in there and enjoy your sports this weekend and have some delicious food and drink some brewskis as well. The Q Club of Wisconsin, located in Waukesha, north side. Visit them this weekend.
From the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Alongside Chuck Freeman, I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, once again in for Bart. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Seattle, he is our Green and Gold insider, Michael Cohen from The Athletic. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, morning, fellas. How are you?
Oh, very good. All right. Boys, a number of things I want to ask you. What was your feeling on Rodgers, 4th and 2 at their own 32-yard line, not put the ball in his hands, and deciding to punt away with one timeout. What's your feeling on that and McCarthy's explanation?
Yeah, so my opinion on this situation is that I think McCarthy made the right decision by the coaching manual. In other words, if you have a team that's playing decent football, that's playing pretty well, that, you know, has something to lose in your season, I think you punt the ball away there. But my opinion is that with the Packers already on the fringe of the playoff picture, and by their own admission after the game, needing some sort of moment or some sort of opportunity that can just change the season around the way that, you know, the relaxed comment changed the season in 14, the way that run the table changed the comment, changed the tone of their season in 16, they needed something to grasp onto. And so I think that given the fact that the Packers had less to lose and that they were basically already on the outside of the playoff picture anyway, I think you should have gone for it. So in my opinion, I think if this is a team that's 6-3 or 7-2 or something like that, I think you made the right choice in that situation. When you have something to lose, when you're fighting for playoff positioning, it would have been unbelievably bold to go for it in that moment. But when you don't have a lot to lose and when your team needs something to galvanize it and something to change the tone of what has happened this season, I think you should have gone for it.
Talking with our Green and Gold insider, Michael Cohen, do you find it baffling that Aaron Jones only touched the ball 6 times in the second half?
Yes and no. Yes, I do think that he should have touched the ball more, but there was also stretch of time in the second half where it was literally only him and Devontae Adams touching the ball. 9 consecutive plays where they were the only people targeted or the people that touched the ball other than Aaron Rodgers and Corey Linsley on a given play. And so I think that this was a case where Seattle began to stack the box. I mean, if they're going to put 8 guys in the box, you have to throw the ball to win the game. And the Packers just could not get it done with enough on the perimeter. You know, Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones accounted for 74% of the offense. And if you take out the 54-yard catch by Robert Tonyan, I know it's, you're not going to take that away, but just for, you know, the sake of argument, if you remove that one play, then those two guys accounted for 88% of the offense. So I think this was a game where they were so reliant on their 2-star players that they became too predictable and there wasn't enough for them to do outside of those guys. I mean, Valdez-Scantling and St. Brown weren't getting open. Jimmy Graham was going with a thumb injury. They just didn't have any options. But when a team stacks the box the way Seattle is, you have to be able to throw the football, and they couldn't get it done.
All right, but here's my follow-up to that. When it comes to these young wide receivers, these rookie guys who are still trying to find chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, obviously you're not going to snap your finger and all of a sudden they're going to be playmakers every single game. But I don't know if this has been addressed in any press conference you guys have done with Aaron Rodgers in training camp or during the regular season, but, you know, what kind of work does Rodgers put in with some of these younger guys? Is it more than just in practice? You know, I mean, have you heard anything where, you know, these guys work on stuff off the field, away from Lambeau Field? Has there been anything like that that's been talked about?
I can't say I've asked about it personally. I mean, I know, based on my conversations with former players, that happens a lot. I can think of Jermichael Finley, who told me that he and Aaron Rodgers, in his second season, I think it was, used to meet in their hotel the night before the game to go over not only the game plan, but just try and build their chemistry by talking about life and other things that were going on outside of football. And that strengthened their bond, which, you know, helps on the football field. And I remember Don Jackson, the running back that was promoted very briefly in that 16, I can't remember which season it was, where he had to kind of play out of the blue because they had so many injuries at running back. And he told me that not only did Rodgers help him, but that there were other running backs, and Ty Montgomery in particular, that helped him, you know, get ready for the game and find ways to, you know, boost his spirits off the field. And he said Rodgers was in that group too. So I don't know any stories about these rookie receivers in particular, but I will say that those types of things are not very uncommon. So I would think that there has been, you know, enough dialogue and enough interaction with Rodgers and the rookies to think that, you know, those types of moments are existing. I just don't know of them off the top of my head.
The last 3 games, 4th quarter games on the road, New England, Los Angeles, and this one in Seattle. Why do you think that Packers can't pull this off? Is it where does it start? What's the explanation for why the Packers cannot win a 4th quarter game on the road?
Because they're not a very good football team. I mean, that's all there is to it. This is a team that can't close games on the road. This is a team that can't close games against good opponents. And the reason is they just don't have enough talent. I mean, look what they had to do on defense yesterday when some of those starters were out. And people can say, well, how can you blame the defense? Injuries, you know, if they had their guys in there, they would have been fine. Okay, maybe you're right. But injuries are part of the game. And if you're at the end of a game and your only options off the bench are playing, you know, an undrafted rookie at safety like they did with Raven Green and an undrafted rookie at corner like they had with Tony Brown and an undrafted defensive lineman like they had with Tyler Lancaster and a former third-round pick who had barely played in Montrevious Adams, I mean, those aren't recipes to win football games. And so I think, again, you're seeing that Brian Gutekunst has done some really, really nice work with his roster in certain spots, but there's still a long way to go in terms of building this thing. And they're just not a good enough and disciplined enough football team to beat, you know, good opposition right now. That's just the bottom line.
What is the feeling? You see Aaron Rodgers, the bad body language again last night, you know, at the press conference and all that. I know that Rob asked him a question. Rob Domofsky asked him a question, and Rodgers didn't like it. How do you feel he's standing right now? He's not used to losing. I know that. I get it. But, I mean, the body language and all that, you could tell he's clearly frustrated.
Yeah, the body language is one that puzzles me. I really don't get it. I understand that Rodgers is a tremendous talent. I understand that he's an absolutely vicious competitor, and that's been well documented throughout his career. So I can certainly understand why there are times when he would be frustrated, disappointed, annoyed, whatever. I get that. Everyone is like that. I mean, some of us can play board games and card games, and we get really frustrated. But the thing that jumps out to me is that if I was one of his teammates and I constantly saw Rodgers with his hands on his hips after every play, or if I constantly saw Rodgers kind of, you know, cursing or shaking his head or throwing his arms up in the air, or after every play he seems like he's upset with something. And I just feel like if me, personally, the way I'm wired, if I was one of his teammates, I would get a little bit frustrated or annoyed by that, because this is supposed to be my leader. This is supposed to be my guy that can, you know, get us together and we can rally behind him and he can take us to the promised land that we're supposed to go to. And so when his body language is poor, when it seems like he's constantly just down on everything that's happening, you know, if I was in that situation, I don't know how I would react to it. And look, I'm never going to be one of Aaron Rodgers' teammates, and I never have been one of Aaron Rodgers' teammates. But, you know, it jumps out to me as something that I don't know if I would respond well if I was in that locker room. And that's just one man's opinion.
Well, we will try and regroup with you on Monday, Michael. Thank you so much. And safe travels back to Green Bay. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, guys. Have a nice weekend. I'll talk to you Monday.
Okay. There he is, Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider from The Athletic. Check out all of his fine work there. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. And Michael, also brought to you by the Thomas Morola Law Offices, brought to you our divorce, child custody, any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola, online at morolalaw.net, or call 414-327-5800. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. We will wrap things up coming up next on The Fan. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Final couple minutes here of Chuck and Winkler. It's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. In for Bart. He'll be back on Monday. Bill Michaels Show coming up at 10. Ron Wolf, former Packers GM, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He will be on with the big unit at 1 o'clock. Look forward to that. Mike Clemens also on the show at 1:20 today. Thanks for a lot of your reaction. Letting it out. Letting your frustrations out. And don't worry, if you weren't able to get in on this show, certainly get in with Bill. I know Bill is going to be calling out Aaron Rodgers today. The big show is going to be breaking it down. It's Packers and Seahawks all day long here on The Fan. Chuck, it's hard for me right now to sit here and say that there is hope for the Green Bay Packers. Yes, they are not mathematically eliminated. Yes, they still have opportunities against Minnesota and Chicago coming up on their schedule. But to watch what I watched last night, it's hard for me to sit here today and say that there's still hope for them to get this right.
But, again, I think 2 years ago, everybody was saying that 4-6, that the team was out of it, too. And I was telling everybody, hey, you know what? It's not over just yet. There's a long way to go in the season. There's 7 games left. And, yeah, they're not playing. They're not trending in the right direction. But don't give up just yet. And, yeah, could they make a run? I mean, to say if I was going to sit here and say, yeah, they could still have a chance of going to the Super Bowl, well, that'd be stupid. Okay. That'd be stupid of me to say that. But, you know, they got to first of all prove that they could win a road game. And, you know, they couldn't do it last night. I mean, they were close, but that doesn't count. They didn't win the game. New England, you know, they're up in the fourth quarter. They're up in the second half of that game. They couldn't finish it out. You know, Los Angeles, same thing. They're up in that game, and they couldn't finish it out. So, you know what? They got to win the first game. They got to win this game against Minnesota. And I get where you're all standing, you and everybody else, and thinking this, they're in the Dunn Club and all that. But, you know, the Packers can change a few things if they win in Minnesota. I don't think they're winning in Minnesota either. I picked up the win last night, not Minnesota, though.
Well, then it's done because now Minnesota has the tiebreaker.
Well, let's play the game first. Just because I don't think they're going to win in Minnesota doesn't mean that's going to happen. Let's let this weekend stuff play out. Let's finish out the seven games here and see what happens.
All right. Well, we'll see if rest pays off.
Let's see.
Chuck, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having
me on.
Thanks
for filling in this week, Joe.
Absolutely. Thanks to Anthony, and thanks to all you guys for chiming in today. The Bill Michaels Show is coming up next. This has been Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.